teachers and false preachers, and we're continuing with our study on Christian character. And one of the things that you have to understand, character sometimes demands that you make choices. Character sometimes demands that you make choices. Character sometimes demands that you make choices. That means that you can't always do what you want to do or what always makes your flesh feel good about doing. You have to be willing to say, what would the Lord have me to do? And sometimes the Lord would have you to do things even when it comes to the issue of separation. Now, biblically, it's a difficult thing to do, and I'm not talking about Phariseeism, but I'm talking about, before you go to Galatians, come back to Romans. And let me show you that biblical separation also has a doctrinal application in the sense of people that don't teach and believe what you teach and believe. Modern-day Christianity teaches, and this is modern-day Christianity, and it is it's not true, it's an untruth, it is not biblical. Modern-day theology says this: a Christian is somebody who gets along with everybody to make sure that there's, no matter what, we've got peace at all costs. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. The Bible teaches you, as much as is possible, live peaceably with all men. Nothing in the Bible tells you as a Christian that it's your job or it's incumbent upon you to get along or to placate individuals whose doctrine is wrong. Now, this is going to really upset some of you, and if it does, I apologize, but it's Sunday school, so it's time to learn some things. And you have to realize, when it comes to this, that there are certain people that believe things that are contrary to the Bible, and if you claim to love the Lord, like you do, and you love them, you separate from them because you love them, to help them to understand, I need to realize or at least investigate my position on this matter, because it's costing me a valuable friendship, a valuable relationship. Now, it's as foreign to Southerners. Southerners put blood before the Bible. Then I get a witness. Amen. Somebody beside Brother Jerry, amen in here?
Amen.
Blood does not come before the Bible.
Amen.
Family and friends don't come before Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Is that right or not?
Amen.
Thou shalt have no other what? Before who? Okay, well, has that not the first commandment? That means your family or your friends or your reputation can become a god to you, and you can put that ahead of God.
Amen.
And then what you do is you look for a veil to hide it behind and call it Christianity and make anybody who doesn't go along with you non-Christian or acting in an un-Christian manner because they don't condone your foolishness, like drinking wine with dinner. Thank you. No, thank you. Well, you know, I don't think there's a problem with it, and I just, you know, the Bible says. Well, you're reading the Bible not rightly divided, and you're reading it differently than I do. The Bible says abstain from appearance of evil. So what's liquor connected with? Well, it's a good time, and I can control it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's why your heritage winds up being drunks and drug addicts and stuff, because a little bit for you, then they wind up doing an excess. Now, the thing also has to do with the Bible. Preacher, you know, there's people that believe in evolution. They don't get along with you. Okay, why am I the bad guy? Well, you're a Christian. You're supposed to... No, see, you haven't been taught. You think you've been taught. You think you know something, but you don't spend enough time in the Bible to know anything at all. You don't know how God views that kind of stuff. You get this idea of God is so human that He's not holy, He's not separated, and He doesn't stand for anything. He just falls for everything because God is so hard up and He's so psychologically unsure of Himself that He wants to make sure He's a friend of everybody and He just loves everybody. No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't at all. The Lord comes in and rebukes all the religious people that are doing things they shouldn't be doing, and He puts them in their place, and He tells them that not only them, but the people that follow them, they make them a twofold child of hell. Now, if you're going to be on God's side, you have to make a decision. You just stand for God and you're going to create enemies. And let me just say you this. You know, friends may last for a little while, but one good enemy will last you a lifetime.
Now, see, some of you are already upset. You say, why? Because you're stuck in the mud. That's why. Because you're just stuck right where you are. You don't intend to move. You're stale. You're stagnant. You're breeding mosquitoes. You're bitter. You're angry. There's no water flowing out of you at all. And all you do is try to constantly undermine what's going on because, you know, you think you know more about what's going on than what God knows what's going on. I believe God uses a man in a pulpit. Well, I don't believe that. Okay, well, then go get your own pulpit and then see whether or not God uses you. But I'm teaching you something that's in the Bible. You sound arrogant. Well, you wouldn't think that if I was just preaching the Bible. I'm not just telling you what the Bible says. Look in Romans chapter number 16. Well, what are you coming home and telling us all that for? Because you need it. You need to get some stinking spiritual smelling salts jammed up your nose. And stop expecting every time you walk in here for the preacher to say, oh, we're just glad you're here. We appreciate so much you being. And thank you. And glory to God and praise the Lord and hallelujah. And isn't it a blessing and all that kind of stuff. Okay, good. I'm glad you're here. Appreciate you being here. Now, let me try to help you during the week. Amen. When you get attacked constantly because you haven't been made sure of your position to feel like, well, I'm pulling back from them, preacher. Why? Well, they go places I shouldn't go. I don't go to them kind of places and do that kind of stuff. I don't, and they're making fun of me. Christianity in the Bible is not a Christianity that mixes in with the world. It doesn't mean that it doesn't try to save people in the world. It means it doesn't mix in with the people in the world. Years ago, we had a kid here. He got all whacked out with this guy that was, he was following this idiot that was teaching this no repentance stuff and all this other kind of a deal. And he started teaching this, you have to become all things to all men that you might win some. And he was going to the bar down at the beach all the time and going to the strip clubs to street preach and pass out tracts. And he had scripture for it. And I called him in my office and I said, brother, first of all, if you're going to go down there and do that, I don't want you passing out any tracts with our name on the back of it. Amen. Our tracts have no business being passed out in a strip club. You know what he said? Well, I don't go down there and participate. Really, you go in there and poke your eyes out of your head? You think I'm going to believe that? You think somebody's going to walk in and see one of our tracks in there and think to themselves that you're not in there up to something? You're smoking crack. Something's wrong with you. And then he said, well, my ministry is to the people at the beach. I said, well, then good. Go in the wintertime. He didn't go in the wintertime. He wanted to go in the summertime. But he had scripture for it. Go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, he said. And I said, okay, there ain't no hedges at the beach. There's sea oats. Get away from down there. Amen. Amen. And, you know, so then the next thing you know, he's like, well, you're just not evangelistically minded and you're just so and so forth. And then I became the bad guy. And those people are going to hell and all that kind of stuff. I said, okay, well, why don't you accost them somewhere else? Why you got to accost them down there where you can see inside the door and be that kind of... That's not Christianity. That's stupidity. You say, why? Any young man get down around that kind of stuff is going to have a problem, if nothing else, with his mind. And I don't really care if you don't believe that. I don't believe there's anybody down here except Jesus that can go in a situation like that and not have problems with it unless he's a queer. Get wore out with that stuff, you know. Well, I just don't really see a problem with, you know, I go those places, but it doesn't bother me. Oh, good night, man. You're just bald-faced lying. A fellow recently said to me, he says, you know, preacher, you know, it just seems that there's people that have a different theological mind about themselves and they just don't seem to agree with you. I said, okay, well, what make the world go round? No problem. He goes, well, I just, brother, you got something to say to me? Say it to me. Don't hide behind somebody else. If you're not agreeing with me, tell me you don't agree with me. Don't try to pull some rabbit out of your hat and some authority that you're following behind because you don't like the fact that I call sin what sin is and I don't like the fact that you don't want to separate from the rest of the world and you get under conviction here and you become some sort of a spiritual pedophile because you don't care who you damage and who you wound and who you hurt along the way. Peter's over there in John, and he says to Peter the first thing when he gets back in fellowship, he says what? Feed my what? No. Feed my what? Lambs. Why lambs? I'll tell you why. When you get in that condition, you don't care about your kids. You say, why? Them two maidens came up there. Two little kids came up there. The Bible says, when the offenses will come, but woe unto him through they come, a better millstone be hung about his neck and to be cast into the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Right? All right. So what Peter do? He offended a little one. That's why the Lord said, feed my lambs. Well, you sure feed them. You don't care about them. You're going to have your way or the highway. You do everything you can to undermine any kind of a preacher that stands up and says, hey, thus saith the Lord, and it ain't right to be doing that. Well, I just, you know, the way he says those things, I just, you know, we just need to learn to love. Jesus Christ was the greatest lover of all time, and he didn't talk the way you talk. That's the way a pervert talks. That's a pedophile talking like that. You say, you're a spiritual pedophile, what do you mean? I've seen mamas and daddies wreck their families because they get so mad because they don't want to do what the Bible says. I've seen grandmas and grandpas wreck their families because they don't want to do what they don't care about the generations behind them. All they care about is themselves and their reputation. Is it too much for you? Am I turning up the heat too much right off the bat? You're not thinking about people around you. You say you are, but you're not. You're thinking about yourself. You're a spiritual narcissist. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you and what you like, what makes you feel good. Get right with God, you won't be so offended this morning.
Amen.
I don't understand that stuff. The Lord says to the apostles, they get over there, kids get away, kids get away, kids get away. The Lord said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And some of you could care less about the generation behind you. It doesn't make no difference to you whatsoever, because you're going to have it your way or the blessed God highway. Somebody's taught you this Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, love everybody kind of a theology. It ain't biblical theology. And you don't have enough Bible to know whether it is or not. I'm tired of somebody, you know, they want to have some biblical discussion about things, and you say, well, you know, in the Bible. But now, you know that verse that says, do you know any other verse than that one verse that you've got your whole doctrine based on? You know, well, I'm just going by how I feel. That can be dangerous. Your feelings change, don't they? You woke up this morning and thought you felt like coming to church, and now you're feeling like you wish you hadn't. Welcome home, preacher. We're glad you're here. Thank God you're here. When are you leaving again? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've been around enough to see what's going on in churches. The Bible says in the last day, many give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And many shall depart from the faith. And they're departing like flies under a guise of spirituality. I'm so spiritual. No, you're not. You're a backslidden, God-forsaken, lying hypocrite is what you are. You're a spiritual pedophile. You're wrecking everybody in the generations behind you. And you could care less because you're uncomfortable. And instead of coming to an altar and getting right, you get out. You're a spiritual chicken. There's a yellow stripe about that wide running down your back. You claim to be so courageous and stand for the faith and all that kind of stuff. You're a yellow-bellied coward, what you are. Why don't you stand up and proclaim it if it's truth?
Amen.
I don't understand that. Well, I never heard of it. A preacher is not supposed to talk like that. How is a preacher supposed to talk? Like a psychiatrist? Lay down on the couch and let's relate. I don't want you laying on no couch. It's time to sit up and take notice. Well, Pastor, you know, if you knew about the people, what I know about the people, you would know that they're quite discouraged. Good. The whole nation of Israel was discouraged, and Moses was right with God, and they weren't. Maybe it's just the ones that you hang around with that are discouraged. Maybe. Maybe it ain't everybody like you say. Kid comes in one time to his daddy and he says to his daddy, Daddy, I don't know what I'm going to do. Everybody is doing this. And his daddy said, no, they're not. And he said, yes, Daddy, everybody's doing it. And he said, no, they're not. You're not. That's what you say when you ain't got no ground to stand on. I know the will of the people. Oh, you do, Absalom, do you? You know the will of the people, do you? Kissing them in the gate, are you? Befriending them, being buddies and pals with them, are you? Overthrow the king, huh? Okay, well, help yourself. You know what happened when Absalom comes up there to take the throne? David said, you can have it, buddy. See you later. Ain't mine anyway. Belongs to the Lord. I'm out of here. I'm going out the back door. That didn't work out so good if I remember reading that thing right. Romans chapter number 16. I will show you a biblical principle. We're just getting started about this thing about false preaching. I feel like I should just teach it in the regular service because some of you look so shocked this morning. I'm just wore out with this mushy, mixing, mingling, squishy, squashy, we all got to get along kind of a thing. Our nation is in a terrible uproar and we need to unite. And oh, okay, good. Then we have to have something in common. The Bible rightly divided. Well, I just can't get on the same page with you. Okay, see you later. Well, can't we? No. Here's what you don't understand. I'm not being arrogant when I say this, but you're not educated enough in these matters to understand. Whenever you have that as your authority, if you ignore that as your authority, then you will sift down to the lowest common denominator. I don't care how much education you have, if you're trying to relate with people, you will sift to the lowest common denominator. You can have PhDs and doctors and lawyers and plumbers and landscapers and painters and everybody else. And what will happen is, in order for them to relate, they'll come down to generally two things if it's men. Generally two things. It'll be sports and sex. Yeah, God bless your heart. You know, oh, preacher, you know, you ain't going to talk about the Bible. It'll hurt you too bad. It'll mess up your reputation with your buddies. And you come to church, you know, well, I came to church to be entertained today. Well, that's not what church is for. I came to church to find a girl. We're going to punch your eyes out of your head. You came to church for the wrong reason. I came to find a guy. There ain't none in here. Not worth having. Have you seen them? Have you ever wondered why they don't have a girlfriend? You should think a little bit. I came to church to make better business connections. There ain't nobody here got any money. What are you doing that for? It don't do you any good. And you want to ruin your business connection? Tell her where you go to church. Where do you go to church? Oh, I go to Bible believer. I don't want to do business with you, man. Them people are crazy. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I like it. You say, why? I want to be different. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be like a preacher that I know that they get together and go to Hooters. Yeah. I said, what? Does your wife know you go there? I wonder where she must be going. Well, I guess that'd be all right with some of you, wouldn't it? Mighty quiet right there. You don't mind taking a trip there with your eyes, do you? Romans 1. You wouldn't go down there in person, but you don't mind taking pleasure in them that do such things, would you? I'm in the Pauline epistles. Well, you know, this Paul onlyism stuff is just, you know, yeah, what does it do? Slap a Calvinist right out of his chair? What does it do? Show you you're saved by grace through faith and no works involved? What does it do? Say, whosoever will, let him come. What does it do? Take you off your high horse and knock you down off your throne and let you know that you're not any more special than the rest of us sinners? What does Pauline doctrine do? It puts you in God's line is what it does. People say, well, I don't believe in dispensationalism. How come you got two testaments? If the old and the new are the same, how come there's no, why don't it just be one testament? Because something changed. How come it is you don't mind taking pleasure in that? No wonder your spiritual life lacks luster. No wonder you're dull. You're participating in things vicariously. You wouldn't punch it up on the computer, would you? No, not you people. No, absolutely. You wouldn't dare look at that, would you? No. What are you looking down for? We're not praying yet. We're not at the end. No, I was counting the weave in the carpet. I was just looking to see if there was something down there, all that kind of stuff. Moses came down off the mountaintop and he walks down there and he wist not that his face shone. And the people were saying, good night, Moses. Man, what in the world? He said, well, I've been in the presence of God. What have you all been? Oh, we've been around the golden calf looking at our own image. And the more we looked at it, the less we thought was wrong with us. So much so, we pulled off all our clothes and had a naked dance down here and an orgy and rock and roll show. And we've been having a great worship service, Moses. Moses says, really? You've been worshiping what? Yourself? Well, I've been on a mountaintop and something happened God did for me. It changed me. I've been looking at Him. That's why some of you ladies have lost the sheen on your face. Too much Kardashian, too much People magazine stuff and all that, you know. Would you how come you quit grinning all of a sudden? Kind of, huh? Now you look kind of like I'm trying to smile, but I just feel nauseated right now. I'm kind of, huh? I spoke with a lady, just read her letter last night, a lady that said, I finally finished reading my Bible, and I got to say this. One of the excerpts she has in there, she said, I'm not the same woman I used to be 5 years ago. Yeah, reading your Bible will change you. That's why some of you hadn't changed any. You don't read your Bible. You don't need to. I got a friend of mine I've known for years, and he can do it now, but when he first got saved and he first got preaching and stuff, he couldn't read. He couldn't even read sixth grade English. And so I got him a tape recorder that you had variable speed in it and got him tapes of the Bible with a Scorby guy and said, now, if you'll sit down and slow it way down and follow with your finger the words as he reads it, the Lord will teach you how to read. You'll hear it going in. You'll see it going in. And I said, then you get to a point where you start mouthing the words and say it. So you've got three of things in action, plus you're using your sense of touch. So I'm trying to employ all that. You say, well, why would you do that? Because the flesh don't like that. Right. The more of it you employ, the better it is. Touch, touching the words, seeing the words, hearing the words, speaking the words. You say, why do you do that? That's how I learned to study for exams. You say, well, preacher, you must be pretty stupid. Thank you, I am. My mind's running all over the creation. So what I have to do, I have to employ everything and stay concentrated. Otherwise, my mind's running off with me. Some of you hadn't picked up the Bible and you don't know how long. The only time you pick it up is out of a pew. Yeah. You don't have a Bible. You have a Bible, you have to blow cotton picking 4 inches of dust off of it. You claim to be a Bible-believing Christian. You're not a Bible-believing Christian. You're a saved person. A Christian loves God. A Christian's willing to follow God. A Christian gets up in the morning and he has the Word of God for breakfast. Sometime during the day, he's got to have the book in him. Some kind of way. You come here and you wonder why you're uncomfortable, why you're behind the curve a little bit. Don't put it all on the preacher. You've got a responsibility too. Some of you need to get off the bottle. God bless your heart, folks. One of the worst things you can do is stay stagnant. You've got to grow. Desire the sincere what? That you may. Then Paul says later on in Hebrews, he says, let us go on to what? Perfection. What do you mean? That means get off the milk and get onto some cotton picking meat. Stop splashing around in the nursery. Get out of the wading pool. And stop looking at me like that. You're betraying yourself. Be happy. Romans chapter 16. Are we in the Bible? We're eventually going to be in there. Romans chapter 16. Verse number 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren. Are you there? What does it say? Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and do what? Oh, come on now, preacher. That can't be true. Well, just go ahead and ignore it then. Why do you feel like you're about to throw up now? You say, well, but I've always, this is the pastor I was under, he always said, I understand that. What does the Bible say? Which is your authority? Somebody that tells you what you want to hear or the absolute authority? Well, he's a nice fellow. We're not talking about personalities. Anytime somebody resorts to character assassination or credentials, you know their argument's weak. You get up and you tell them, this is what, and they say to you, where did you get your education? Why'd you ask that? What does that have to do with our argument?
How much education do you have?
Well, you know, I heard back in 1974 that you were... So this is 2016. Why did you go back to 1974? What's the matter? You jellyfishing? What's the matter? You nervous? What's the matter? You got no answer for the argument? He says, mark them and avoid them. Now, what are you going to do?
Well, preacher, I just don't think that's how a Christian ought to act. What does it say?
Amen.
Well, preacher, you know, here's what I've always believed. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. There is a fallacy with that problem. You believing it now becomes the definitive act in that sentence. You mess with me, I'll put Dr. Noble up here and she'll say, he's telling you right. He may not have correct grammar when he does, but he's telling you right. You become the deciding factor in that, not God. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That means if you didn't believe it, it wouldn't be settled. So now you become the active part of that sentence. God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not is inconsequential. Say amen, it'll make the naysayers uncomfortable. Then they'll realize, you know what, maybe I am the only one in here. Maybe everybody doesn't believe like I do. Maybe everybody in. When you're out there, you know, oh, I don't, what do you think about that? I don't know, what do you think about? I don't know, I'm not really comfortable with that. What's the matter? You got the Holy Ghost jitters or something? God said, to do what? Avoid them. He didn't even say argue with them. Now that's biblical. That's what you do with a false teacher. Well, preacher, the majority of what they say is right. Well, glory to God. John Hagee, you know what? He's a nice guy out in Texas. Pear man, I call him. With all due respect. Who denounces the fact that the Messiah was not for the Jew. But he's a good preacher. He's got a church of 10,000 people and he's got great books and he wrote about the blood moons and the Shemitah and all the other kind of stuff and you know, and he sold all kind of books about Armageddon coming and he's got great graphics and stuff up there and so on and so forth. All you would have to know about him is he denies that Jesus Christ is the Messiah for the Jew. That makes any teaching he has suspect. But he's a good preacher and he's got great entertainment graphics and they got a big church and they have wonderful music and he's on television and that kind of thing. Have you looked at what's on television lately? Just because it's on TV, does that give it credibility? Do you realize who gets to get on TV nowadays? What is that saying? And if that is your argument, is that not pretty weak? Jesus Christ is the Jews' Messiah. They crucified the Messiah. Oh, no, they didn't crucify the Messiah. He wasn't their Messiah. They're not accountable for that. And preaching the gospel of the grace of God to the Jew is not necessary because they're under a special covenant with God. Exact quote. What am I supposed to do? Avoid him. Well, preacher, I had to read the latest book because, you know, I mean, he's going to tell me when the world's going to end. He can't tell you when you're going to die. You need to be ready to die. You don't need to be worrying about when the world's going to end. You're assuming you're going to be here to see the world end. And you know what happens when you assume. Well, preacher, long ears and a tail, okay? Relax. But good, that's good. Laughter's good. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's biblical. You say, why? The law of gravity. How many times in 27 years I've been here have I said, Brother Brad, I outweigh him by a few pounds and stuff like that, and if he's down there and I'm down here, he just keeps a steady pull. He don't have to snatch me, he don't have to yank, he just keeps a steady pull. All I got to do is just lose my balance one time and down I go. You say, why? Law of gravity. Those people just keep bumping you and 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 just keep bumping you. And it's like minnows hitting you. And after a while, they eat you one little tiny bite at a time. And before long, you crumble and you fall. Well, you know, they do. No, see, here's where you mess up. You develop an emotional relationship with those people and emotions blind you to the doctrinal fallacies. You care about them and so you can't separate from them. You know what the Lord does to protect you? Get away from them.
Amen.
Big fellow at Saddleback Church out west and so on and so forth, and all kind of false doctrine, purpose-driven this and purpose-driven that and people-driven this and people-driven that. And I know you people think that's the greatest thing in the world and that's how a church is supposed to be. No, it's not. It's not biblical.
Amen.
The church is never built around people that need people or the luckiest people in all the world. It was built around Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the foundation, not you. Well, the church I went to was all... Okay, well, go back there is all I know to tell you. I don't mean to be rude with you, but this church is not built on people. It's not about people. It's about Jesus. The best thing a preacher can do for you is to prepare you to die, not prepare you to get along with each other all the time. Jesus Christ is first in everything. It's not, well, I'm just supposed to be, you know, I want to get to know you. For what? Are you going to enhance my life? Am I going to enhance your life? Why don't you get to know Jesus? Why are you so interested in knowing each other instead of knowing Him? You're going to meet Him one day. Now, some of you now, you really do. It's like, I think I just threw up in my mouth. I don't really like... No, see, you're making it about people. Because the fact of the matter is, when you make it about people, it's really about you. Because you think you're successful. That's what Facebook is all. That's the business plan. If I can get it to be about somebody and worshiping themselves and making sure that it's all about them and so on and so forth, then guess what will happen? They really become a legend in their own mind and it becomes about people. Nowhere in the Bible is it about people. He never teaches you to love one another more than you love Him.
Amen.
Ever. Ever. The church is not a social place where you come together and I want to get to know you. Sometimes you love people more if you don't get to know them. Familiarity breeds contempt. Right? I just got this, which y'all don't know, is it's kind of like... Oh. They were looking at their watch, but they were saying, yeah, hit that one again. Yeah, sometimes it's better not to get too close to people. But there has been a thing taught that it's all about getting along and getting along and getting along and getting along. Well, but preacher, the Bible says, by this they shall know you're my disciples, that you love one another. You missed the operation there. You're His disciple first. And love is able to be able to overlook some things, not get personal with everybody. We used to have a lady around here. She'd bat her eyes all the time like she had contacts in them, but she didn't. But anyhow, she'd go around all the time, and she'd walk up to somebody, and she'd ask them nearly everything but their Social Security number. Hey, how are you doing? It's nice to see you today. We're so glad to have you here. I'm so-and-so, and this is 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 so-and-so. And we just really appreciate so much you being here. And we just, and where do you work? And what do you do? And are you married? And how many children do you have? And do you homeschool? Or what school do they go to? Oh, well, you don't go to that school. What kind of foods do you eat? And what kind of a car do you drive? And where is it that you work? And how would you like? And can I have your email address? And can I have so-and-so? I just have a ministry in the church that's like, yeah, almost that fast, like rapid fire. You say, well, isn't that what church is about? What Bible you've been reading? You know what's a strange thing? Whenever Jesus was around, they were coming to see Jesus. They stopped a fellow on the road and they said, hey man, you know, we got a big party, a big shindig down here, got chips and dip and stuff like that, and, you know, potatoes and ranch dressing and different things like that. We're going to have us a big shindig, got ice cream and pie and cake and all that kind of stuff. Sir? Yeah, what? I mean, we're going to have a good time, man. We've got a rock and roll band here. Boy, I mean, we're really shucking and driving. Things are going really good. Sir? Yes, what? We would see Jesus. Look, Jesus can help me. You can't help me. Get away from me. You can't save me from hell. Get out of my face. I don't want all that. I'm looking for a pavilion, a place of refuge. I'm looking for somewhere where I can get away from all that stuff. Will you please let me see Jesus? Get out of the way. So many stars in the church nowadays, you can't see Jesus. Everybody's shining the light on themselves. The Bible says, and avoid them, for they are such as serve not the Lord. Verse number 18, the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Do you see that?
Amen.
Well, if they're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you doing around them? You trying to convert them? How long is it going to take you to do it? A lifetime? You don't believe the Bible. You feel that right there? Well, preacher, you walking too much by what you see. You have to learn to walk by faith. You have to trust what God tells you to do and trust that God knows what's doing even when it comes to those closest to you.
But you don't care if they go to hell. That's just the truth of the matter. You care more about your reputation.
You wouldn't dare say, I'm not going there anymore and I'm not doing that anymore. Why? I'm a Christian and I don't think it's right.
Amen.
It's Sunday night. Where are you going? I'm going to church. For what? Nobody goes to church on Sunday night anymore. I do.
Amen.
Well, we're having a party. We're going to a football game. We're going to the beach. We're going to the lake. We're going to a big dinner. We're going to go have so-and-so. Okay, well, I'll go with you Monday to Saturday. I'm going to church Sunday night. Nah, Sunday night's travel day. Got to get back for work on Monday. Preacher, you're stretching it out a little bit too much. We don't worship the Sabbath. No, the Sabbath is on Saturday. We got a better covenant now. You worship God on the first day of the week. That's Sunday. But the way it goes is what you give God on Sunday will wind up playing out the rest of the week. So your hind end is in a sling, and then you start saying, God, where are you? God, where are you? And he said, well, I've decided I didn't want to come today.
Amen.
I mean, I want you to be there, God, whenever I want you to be there, but I decided to be absent today, so, you know, it's okay with me. But then when I want you, I expect you to be there. God, where are you at? I'm taking a holiday, taking a day off. I'm chilling out, man, relaxing. Lord, don't you know why I was here today? Yeah. Your job, ladies and gentlemen, is to be here when God shows up, not if He shows up.
Amen.
You keep coming until He does. If He showed up every single time when you were here, then it doesn't require any faith, and it doesn't prove your loyalty. Sometimes it's dry as cracker juice. Why? God's seeing if you'll keep coming even if it's dry. See if you'll do what's right even if you're not getting what you want. Sometimes you come in and you get a sermon, it doesn't apply to you at all. You're like, well, man, what was that? The Lord said, I don't know. Just see if you'll come back next week.
Amen.
I'm passed plenty of plates around here that were for you, and you passed them up. So I'll just go ahead and just not put anything out there at all because you seem to pick and choose what you want to eat and who it is that serves you. Who's preaching? Oh, Paul. Paul's preaching. Paul. Paul's been preaching here for 3 years, man. Give me somebody new. The evangelist coming in? Somebody special coming in? No, just Paul. Just Paul. Ain't nobody but Paul. Well, Paul's always there. Okay. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about how you treat the Lord. You're lackadaisical, and then you claim to be. You talk it too much. You wouldn't have to talk it so much if you walked it. The proof's in the pudding by the choices you make. The Bible just said that people that teach those things, they don't serve the Lord Jesus. Well, now, preacher, you can't say that. How can you say I can't say that if the Bible says that?
Right.
Well, now, you don't know somebody's heart. Oh, ducking, man, you're worse than Muhammad Ali. You're ducking all the time. Cassius Clay is dead now, and I guarantee you this, the devil called him by his real name.
Yes.
Well, I've converted and I have religious this and religious that. He's a great fighter. He is a great fighter. But what matters about, we can talk about him, build a monument to him for all I care. Write books, give a whole cover to Sports Illustrated, give the whole deal to the guy. It won't pull him out of hell. I don't understand that. Why doesn't somebody care about his soul? Muhammad Ali, a great fighter. I don't know how many he won, just about everything he fought. The guy, I mean, he was a giant blabbermouth, but good night, he could back it up, man. So, you know, now he's not boasting, he's just telling facts. You know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, you'll be down in three. Third round, pow, I told you you'd be down in three. Well, he's not boasting or bragging, he's telling the truth. I mean, after a while, he does that a few times, it's kind of like, if he says I'm going down to three, I don't think I'm going to get in the ring. I mean, he seems to have some credibility, but not when it comes to spiritual matters. Now, the Lord just said to you, in a Pauline epistle, inspiration by the Holy Ghost Himself who authored it, you know what He just said right there? He just said to you, they don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If their doctrine is wrong, they're serving themselves.
Here's the question that just came across some of your minds. Good, question it. Here's the question. Well, how do you know whether or not your doctrine is the right doctrine? Because I follow the Bible rightly divided. Because you don't know for sure that you're right. You're not that unsure about anything else you do. Now listen to me for a second and I'll be done. Are you hearing me? You go to buy a car. Why do you drive that car off the lot? Because you believe that car is going to get you for the next few years or you wouldn't put all that money in it. Right? How do you know your car is the best car?
How dare you question whether or not I buy the best car or not? I've done all my research. I pulled all the consumer reports. I know everything there is to know about that car. Why? If that car were to break down, I could fix it myself. I know that car's ins and outs and ups and downs. I bought the best car money can buy. Okay. You're that way about your house, your mortgage. You're that way about everything else in life. And when it comes to the Bible, why always a question mark? Well, nobody can really be sure. Really? Really? I don't believe that. Man's constantly trying to change it. Well, you don't know for sure. Okay, well, you're going to live to see the day where you're going to find out I was right because I was telling you what the Bible said. We can't see it. I guess some of you would love to see me get up there and the Lord rebuke me and say, well, you were completely wrong about that. I might have been wrong about some things, but doctrinally, I ain't wrong. I know I'm right. Well, the Seventh-day Adventists believe the same thing, and so do the Jehovah's Witnesses, and so do the Mormons, and so do the evolutionists, and so do the atheists, and so do them. And they all believe, and, you know, once we get up there, God's just going to sort everybody out and reward them according to... I don't believe that theology. I believe there's one way to heaven. I believe it's through Jesus Christ. And I don't believe if you didn't get it that way, that you don't go to hell, you come back as a rat, or you come back as a squirrel, or you come back as a whale, or you come back as a dog, or you come back as a... That's the most foolish thing I ever heard in my life. That's a little bit of a mix. You know what that is? That's a duck to get behind not having to face Jesus Christ. And some of you, you wouldn't open your mouth for nothing. You wouldn't say, I don't believe that. You say, why? You're emotionally attached. I wish I could get you emotionally attached to Jesus. I don't ever have to worry about you Baptists getting too emotional. I get so wore out with hearing Baptists. I get preaching a meeting somewhere. I'll say this for them people in North Carolina. We had a real good meeting up there, and they may not be book smart in certain things, but boy, when it comes to their relationship with the Lord, they take it serious, boy. I mean, it's as serious as a sack full of rattlesnakes, man. You start preaching a little bit, put the hammer down. They don't wait till the end of the service. They're down to the altar right then, boy, in front of everybody. I mean, a small town, everybody knows everybody and stuff like that. Boy, you pop something, they don't care. They jump up and get down there. They want to get it right with God. Or they'll stand up in the middle of after the end of a service like that and, there's more faith, God, He's just so tough me. They're always worried about their relationship with God. They may not have a lot of intellect when it comes to that, but they got sense when it comes to that other stuff. You Baptists, you're funny about that kind of stuff. Well, I don't want to get too emotional. You get emotional about everything else. I've seen some of you get so mad, you almost can't talk. You get so mad. You get teared up. You get gritten teeth, and you just get. Don't tell me you don't get emotional. I've seen you get emotional about ball games and who wins what and who does this. I've seen you get emotional about politics and all kind of other stuff like that. I'd like to see you just once in a while get emotional about Jesus. I mean, really lose your religion. See how that was sequestered right there? Did you see that? It's kind of like, well, he's trying to get us to shout. You do about everything else. You shout about what you're passionate about. I'm not saying all the time, well, preacher, you got to worry about that strange fire. I don't know. I'd be glad to see something strange if no fire at all. I mean, you know, any fire is a good fire when you're cold. You feel the atmosphere change? You're too religious. You need that religious veneer knocked off of you. You need to stop and think for a minute. Boy, when them women came to Jesus, boy, they were weeping and crying. You say, why? Boy, they were emotional. They were grateful. The Lord touches that boy over there. He goes leaping and shouting into the temple in there, raises all kind of cane. I bet that was something, Peter. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'll give to thee. It extends his right hand and grabs him. That boy gets his legs under him like that. And the first thing he does is hop, skip, and jump right into the main church service and says, man, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Amen. There's nothing wrong with getting emotional about Jesus. Amen. Emotion's part of who you are, isn't it?
Yes,
let me ask you men something. Do you...
You fall in love with your wife when you married her? Anybody? Love's an emotion. Good answer, boys. Good answer. Good answer. You get an A on that one. Okay, that's an emotion. And it drove you to make a commitment. And you did more than just say, yeah, I love you. You think she'd have believed you? That's what you say after you've been at it 25 years. Yeah, I love you. If it changes, I'll let you know. I told you today I married you. Oh, I'm cutting up with you now. Now let me ask you a question. What's wrong with getting emotional for Jesus? You don't have to worry about it running out of the banks. Your mud puddle has dried out and been drove over so many times it's sloshed all the water out. And there ain't nothing there, even a frog buried down in the mud. It's so dry. Because it's been a while since you just said, praise the Lord. Amen. Or, amen. God been good to you?
Amen.
I guess just a few of you. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
Okay, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I just believe that a woman ought to keep silent in church. Hey, listen, buddy, I can't help it if you can't control your wife's mouth. But you can't hide behind the pulpit or hide behind the Bible and say that women ought to keep silence in the church. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with it. Why would you want to keep a woman down? You a Muslim or something?
Right.
Why would you want to keep a woman from praising the Lord?
Amen.
You don't mind her praising you, you person you.
Right.
You don't mind her praising the kids. Why would you mind her praising the Creator? Chauvinist pig you. I don't get that. What's the matter? She's showing you up, boys? I think I remember a story. I'll take a break here in just a second, but I'm going to blow this last little bit of steam out of the pot here. A woman comes up there and all the boys having a men's meeting, sitting around with the Lord there, and they're having the time they just took for granted. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. We've been around Jesus all the time. Jesus, Jesus. He's dad's just Jesus. He's my buddy. He's my pal. He's my friend. I'm laying around here eating with Jesus and stuff like that. Mary comes in, and the Bible says all of them got upset about Mary coming in. Mary, what you doing in here? I came in here to worship the Lord.
Amen.
What's the matter, men? Woman upstaging you? You know how them women can be emotional. Yeah, and I know how you men can be stinking bump on a log, too. Some of you are like a pustule. You're like a boil. You're like a pimple full of pus. You're just swole up. I mean, you need to be popped real good. That woman's got enough sense to say, I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Well, honey, what are you praising the Lord for? Because He gave me strength to put up with you for another week.
Amen.
Because I had a butcher knife in my hand the other night when you were sleeping, and I was thinking, yeet, 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 you know. And the Lord stepped in and said, now come on, sister, let's don't get carried away. That's why I'm praising the Lord. What's the matter, fellas? Your nation is in the condition it's in because the church has quit being led by men praising the Lord. And a woman has enough sense to know that if you're so stupid you won't praise the Lord, she'll do it anyway. Don't you get onto that woman for being rebellious or out of place or she don't know her place. No, you don't know your place. You want to know something? Let them people in back there, Woodard. They're ganging around out there like flies around an outhouse. But or around coconut cake. Coconut cake. Coconut cake. Here's the thing that bothers me, folks. You don't have a sense for things when it comes to stuff like that. Men, you should be the first ones praising the Lord. In the Bible, the men are praising the Lord. The men are praising the Lord. The men are praising the Lord. All the singers in the temple were men praising the Lord. Come on down here, girls. The men were praising the Lord. The men were praising the Lord. The men were doing the singing. Well, what's wrong with you, fellas? You're supposed to be leading your family. When's the last time your kids heard you, parents, say praise the Lord? Boys, get me a couple of chairs for these girls here so they can sit up here. When was the last time your family heard you, men, praying for your family? Not just your wife. When's the last time, men, your kids and your grandkids,
Are you listening to me? When is the last time your kids, your grandkids, heard you read the Bible? I mean, I'm thankful. I can remember going to my grandparents' house on both sides. They'd leave me there, dump me off. I was giving my parents a vacation. They'd dump me off for 2 weeks in both places, you know, but they'd dump me off and all that kind of stuff. I don't care if we hunted, if we fished, if we were plowing the garden, if we were working, we were always doing something around there all the time. I don't care if we were playing across and playing ball or whatever it was we were doing. When you came in, you had a bath, and everybody took a bath in the same tub, you not at the same time. But you went out there and he'd put about that much water in there and you'd bathe. And then he'd check you with ears and all that kind of stuff and make sure you're clean. And then get out and get in here and bring the next one in there. And then they'd bathe and that kind of a deal. Everybody bathed in the water. They didn't waste water like you do nowadays with it running. Ooh, well, that's nasty. Okay, well, I survived it. It didn't hurt me too bad. Water, by the, you didn't want to be the last one in there. It kind of gave you an idea. I want to be first. You never knew what the person ahead of you did in that water. Amen. You do it in the swimming pool. You know, well, I got chlorine, you know. Yeah, whatever. I'm talking back in the days before chlorine, man. It's kind of like, I want to get in there. You get ready to get in there. That thing's, it's kind of gray, dirty, dull looking. It's like, Paw, can we put water in here? Nope. And it's cold. To turn on the hot water? Nope. Should have been first. You racing to get a bath. You get your bath. You sit down. You have dinner. And after dinner time, you get dishes and stuff done. Kids did dishes in those days. You didn't do dishwashers. Kids did the dishes. Nana cooked the meal, but kids did the dishes. You're going to eat. You're going to do that. And then after that, oh, well, can I go? Nope. Living room. Everybody comes in the living room. Oh, your TV time. Uh-uh. Nope. He'd take out that old Bible. It had a picture of Lester Roloff in the front of it. Old Lester Roloff Bible. He'd pick out that Bible and say, all right, now tonight we're going to be reading in. I need to read the Bible. And sometimes Nana would say, well, I just thank the Lord. You know, we had a good crop come in and the Lord took care of us. And, you know, the bugs got on the tomatoes and stuff. But the Lord helped us to see it quick enough and we got the stuff took care of. And so we want to make sure we thank God for a good crop of tomatoes, you know, and thank God for them green beans. And Jake, that's my pawpaw. Jake, you know, Jake, he caught some nice bass. We got them in our freezer now. We sure appreciate God giving us some fish to be able to eat. And it might be just that simple. I'm a 60-year-old man. And I remember that stuff when I was 8, 9, and 10 years old. Yeah, I remember fishing and hunting and things like that. But I remember sitting there having sweet times around that Bible. Sunday morning, I'm on vacation, right? Get up, boy, we're going to church. Nana, get up and make apple fried pies, apple, I call them hand pies, and put that filling and stuff in there and smash a bunch of butter and then sugar and cinnamon on them, put them in the oven. You smell them cooking, that'd be Sunday morning. And get that with some milk and stuff like that, and then you get ready and you go to church. And then you have big dinner and you go back to church that night. And then you come in from church and you shuck off your go-to-meeting clothes and you put on your blue jeans or whatever and you sit out on the porch and you shuck corn or you pick peas or whatever and maybe play a dominoes or something for a little while and then in the living room for... Where was the TV time? We never did turn it on in those days. Some of you ain't never sat down and read the Bible with your kids or your grandkids for squat. What a legacy. Well, you don't have to do that stuff. No, you don't. No, you sure don't. You don't have to do that at all. You certainly don't. But why wouldn't you?